Welcome to HLB Cross Border Business Talks, HLB's global podcast series on international business topics.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of HLB's podcast. I am joined today by HLB's Jim Burg, our global technology advisory leader, by Klaus Frank, our AMAVAT leader, and we have a special guest speaker today, Heiko Altrichter from Lexford Capital, a AI research laboratory, if I say that correct.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us today. We are in Dubai for our annual Middle Eastern conference, a very forward-thinking city, I would say, to talk about artificial intelligence and how AI is developing in the business world and the ways in which AI is already around us and businesses are increasingly adopting AI. So Jim, if I may start off with you. Last month in our publication, the Global Survey of Business Leaders, we found that business leaders around the world think of AI as the most important technology for future business success, but they also see it as the biggest disruptor. When you speak to clients, what do they ask? What kind of questions do they ask you about AI in their business?
Yeah, so I'm so happy that that really rose to the top in the area of concern, because you got to go back to what's driving it. What's driving the explosion of AI? What's driving that is data. We've amassed so much data over the last few years, right? Our systems, we're connecting everything. So here's the problem. The reason why it's elevated so high is because we've amassed so much data, and many businesses today, they don't really understand how to read the data, understand the data, visualize the data, understand the stories that are embedded in the data. So that's where applying artificial intelligence and tools like that will allow us to very quickly read those untold stories, to understand those, maybe those operational issues that may be embedded in the data that are not obvious from the financial statements. So really unlock the secrets. I think AI can really help to unlock the secrets that are buried in every single company out there, large companies and today small companies.
Thank you. Heiko, when a business is thinking about deploying AI into their model, how do they go about that? Where should they start?
Yeah, so this is a question I get quite often, and the most commonly it goes something like this: I have no idea about AI, I have no idea about technology, but everybody else around me is using it, and if I don't use it, I'm gonna be screwed. And 10 years from now, I'm not gonna have half the revenue that I have today. I'm missing out, so I need to have it right now. And so the very first thing that I tell people to look for is defining your actual problem. So what is it that you're looking to get out of AI? How is your product going to benefit, or how is your service going to benefit from analyzing data, as Jim said, and intelligently analyzing data? Once you've defined that problem, do I have a classification problem, or do I have a forecasting problem? What is it that I want to do? I can decide what is the output going to be, right? And the output can either be that I get an Excel sheet printed out that I can then use as the human operator to make my own analysis, or it can be like you said, a red, yellow, green light of this is suitable, this is not suitable. And so this is how you go about it. And then once you've defined that, you need to see what you need as an input. So problem, output, and input. Which data sources are sensible for you to actually consider in this, and which are false fallacies, what we say? So a classic example would be using climate data to predict the cancerous growth. So that could be that, yes, climate very much influences how cancer spreads, how cancer develops, or it could very well be that not at all. And so you need to decide for your product what data is sensible for you to consider, because the AI will always find a correlation. It doesn't matter what data you give it, an AI will always try to find a solution for you and will always give you an answer. But if that answer is sensible or not, very, very much depends on the human that provides the inputs and the outputs.
Okay, thank you. So I think we agree that AI has so many different use cases and can be used for many, many great things. But there are also a couple of limitations. What kind of limitations are there, and what should business leaders consider when they're thinking of deploying AI for their companies?
Absolutely. So the first consideration is whether I want to analyze something qualitatively or quantitatively. So in other words, do I use hard data and numbers, or do I use qualitative assessments of something? Anything number related, it's not even a question. Anything that has to do with number crunching in AI will be superior, will be better, will be faster, will be more efficient. You don't even have to think about it. But when it comes to the qualitative aspects, it's not often as easy and as straightforward. So for example, one popular example is Faceception. It's an Israeli startup that that uses AI to claim to analyze the human face to see things like intelligence, to see things like violent tendencies and behavior, to read emotions, all out of a single face. And so these kind of claims are very dangerous because it assumes a medical knowledge in the developers or in the people creating the AI that is not always present. And the result can be racial profiling. The result can be discrimination, racism, and those kind of things we clearly see here today. One very interesting example from last year from out of China. China has a very strong social scoring system in order to check and measure their society and keep it healthy in their interpretation of it. And a year or two ago, a Chinese billionaire was caught jaywalking by traffic cameras. And because of the way the automated systems work and with the social scoring system, his face was all over the news, plastered over the news as the jaywalker, as the person who really isn't a good model citizen. But in reality, it turned out that it was an AI misclassification. In reality, a bus with a picture of the billionaire printed on the side was driving across the street, and an AI recognition software inside the traffic camera misinterpreted that as the billionaire jaywalking. And so these kind of dangers can very well happen, and they do happen right now, and not just with small companies or with fringe companies, with the Chinese government this happens. So this is you really need to be careful as to what are the limitations of AI and what is the science that the developer is using as the background.
Mm. Thank you. That's very insightful. Klaus, if I may turn to you now. We spoke about, or Heiko gave some examples about where you need to be careful with AI and what potentially where there are potential limitations at the moment. When it comes to incorporating AI into a company, how do you create an environment and a culture where AI can be the most successful?
Well, this is a very huge question, let's say. but in fact, it's like implementing an AI solution in a company. Maybe it's like if you develop a software. Yeah. First, you have to understand what the software should do, and you have to understand the processes in your company. AI will not help your company if you do not have good processes implemented already in your firm, AI will not help you to make better processes. So it means you need people in your firm to identify the problem and to translate these problems, these questions, to a specified or classified firm who is able to program it with a specific algorithm. So this is, I think, the biggest challenge what firms have.
Jim, I know that you have a lot of clients where you help them implement processes in order to make the most out of technology by creating the right environment. Do you have some examples that or best practices that you can maybe share when it comes to AI implementation?
Well, I think, so we've done a number of different projects around AI and artificial intelligence and really more specifically around data. So we have a group in Washington, D.C. We call it our Witham Digital Group. And at Witham Digital Group, was 55 people in that group, and we have data scientists and all different talents that sit within that group. So they're being approached every day. Again, I go back to what we talked about, how I talked about data when we first opened. So we get called into situations where clients are challenged with their data and understanding the data. We've helped clients in many different industries. There's a good example is clients in the automotive dealership industry. So we do a lot of auto dealers in the marketplace where we practice. Historically, auto dealers have lots of data in lots of separate systems. So they don't understand really, they don't have visibility, clear visibility to all that data. So what our data guys do is they'll pull all that data from all those separate systems to, let's say, one area where it can easily be visualized and viewed by management. So it's part of it is intelligently pulling all that data to one place where you can make sense of it, and then again gathering that data. And the others is really deep diving on it. You know, what is the outcome, like we talked about earlier, that you want to try to understand? So, you know, think about this. We help our auto dealers out every single day with looking at their financials, helping them to improve efficiency and profitability. Well, there's only so much we can do as accountants by looking at the top side. See, as accountants, we look at 30,000 foot. We look at financial statements. So by utilizing AI, we're able to look at the data, mine that data, understand that data, run tests and analysis on the data that, quite frankly, may allow us to come up with other types of conclusions that we don't otherwise have. So we really put ourselves, by utilizing AI, into positions to help clients in specific industries to better understand the data that's buried there, and better understand it in a so much more efficient manner than we ever could before. In the past, we would spend hours and hours and hours analyzing data, and today you could do it literally within a few seconds, within a few minutes, once you understand the data pool that you want to analyze.
Heiko, what's your take on that?
Well, absolutely. This touches a little bit upon what I talked about earlier with the quantitative aspect, and especially when you have a lot of disparate data sources, it is not always easy to see the bigger picture, to see the clear picture, and it is also not always easy to see what data is relevant and what data isn't. So,
to have structured
data. Yes, here, right? Exactly. Because, like Jim said, we are generating an incredible amount of data every second. So much data that no human is capable of actually looking at it all and understanding it all, and even crunching the numbers. You would never be able to keep up. And so, we necessarily need machine intelligences to take that workload off our backs. Otherwise, we will always keep on playing catch up.
Heiko, before you wrap up our conversation for today, I just wanted to ask your take on this, right? So artificial intelligence has been on the CEO agenda for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. But there already is quite a lot of use cases for AI in our daily lives all around us, mm-hmm. right? From Alexa at home to the AI that scans our applications when we put a resume forward somewhere.
Absolutely.
But there's still a lot of new development in the space of AI.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could share your scientific insight in terms of where you see this space moving in the next couple of years.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So in from a scientific perspective, from a computer science perspective, we like to call this the AI effect. So the AI effect says that technically, since the dawn of software and computing, we've used AI. They were just of a completely different scope and limitation than nowadays. And any time that a particular piece of software or technology becomes commonly accepted, in other words, becomes a commodity, it stops being AI, and it just is a software, a technology, a product. It is no longer, this is the AI effect, it is no longer considered this great new technology, this artificial intelligence, but anything that is analyzed by a machine as opposed to a natural operator, the natural intelligence, is considered artificial intelligence. And so to say where is the space going to move over the next couple of years or next couple of decades, we need to understand that we've deployed software and AI for the last 30 years, 40 years, really successfully. We are very much at the beginning of our innovation cycle and what is possible with AI, what is possible with machine intelligences. And this is all with today's hardware, today's technology, and those limitations. Because one of the big limitations of AI today is the sheer size of the AI. So you can only build an AI that is that big, and otherwise it's not going to fit in your supercomputers today. And so this is about to be disrupted in a major way, fundamental way, with quantum computing. And so we are very much at the beginning of what is possible with artificial intelligence, what is possible with software and data. And if we don't get on board now, and I cannot stress this strong enough, if we don't keep up now, we're going to be left behind. And then those companies and those business leaders that actually kept with it, that stuck with it, and that always were at the forefront of technology, those will be the ones that get the clients. Those will be the ones that are the industry leaders. Those will be the ones that work together with governments to come up with new and innovative solutions, and the rest of us will be left behind.
So in other words, watch this space.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, all three of you, for speaking with us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. For more information about this topic and other cross-border business insights, visit www.hlb.global/insights.